Greetings, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to Deep End, and we're going to talk about this idea of vectors. We're going to talk about this idea of positionalities and what it truly means to make some progress in your existence. Now, why do we always talk about the fact that we are not actually subject to time or space? The reasoning is because it's a somewhat irrelevant parameter to measure your actual motion or your vector. That means, you know, what frequency or vibration path you're taking, how you're changing from one moment to the next, one day to the next, where your overall vector is the perfect word for it, is headed. Now, how does that pertain to what's known as positionalities and pairs of positionalities? Well, this whole endeavor of becoming enmeshed in full awareness, total awareness, consists in seeing the illusion of the pairs of positionalities that appear to be so solid. Because no matter how simple or how subtle, it always boils down to positionalities and favoring one side over another side, even if it's subconsciously. That causes an individual to be unable to actually embrace the totality of all that is and all that they are. So, once you actually resolve a certain positionality, which there's a wide spectrum, so there are some who never even address certain positionalities, meaning that they think, okay, I'm Republican, so everything that has to do with that is good. Everything that has to do with Democrat is bad. And you can easily see that's one example of a polarity. It could pertain to the races, it could pertain to a diet, it could pertain to a religion, etc. It could pertain to a nationality, anything, a preference, a vanilla is better than chocolate, you know. And for the average person, they actually see their identity in these positionalities. So they choose to stake them out and hold them, just like staking out a location on the battlefield or digging the trenches. And literally it becomes entrenched in the psyche, so that the individual is thereby limited to whatever terrain they have chosen to say is favorable to them. And that which they have claimed is unfavorable is now off limits as far as their comfort level. So that's how wide the spectrum is. We have ranging from people that have no real desire to actually expand and become aware of their positionalities. They're happy with them. They identify with them. And then on the other side, we have those who have completely liberated themselves from positionalities, thereby ceasing to be individuals. So as you can see, there's quite a broad range of what can be achieved as far as expanding yourself by resolving these paradoxes or positionalities, right? And the amazing thing is that there's actually an infinite amount of these positionalities, that once one becomes resolved, or you become relaxed into the fact that you don't need to choose one over the other, then you will graduate unto the next positionality. And many times you may not even realize that you're then to another positionality, because you're now in a fuller space. You're now in a larger manifestation of what you are and what you're capable of. So you may just need to feel out that new space for a while And that's perfectly cool, because as we talk about, you know, levels of truth are actually holes. This is an uncommon way of thinking now, but this is what every integrated divine philosophy is based on. Holes, monads, not fractions. The fractionated approach is in large part responsible for the decadence of our present culture, right? So, this is important because people often don't realize the positionalities that they're operating under. They may see that the way that they are and what they favor is the only way. They may be unaware of that other side to it. Or they may actually be in denial to the fact of thinking that they are balanced, they are whole, and they don't have a preference, but subconsciously there's a positionality, there's a tension that has not been resolved. So, generally, these positionalities come up in life. You don't have to try too hard. You know, you go to anywhere, you're running your errands, you're at your office, somebody says something you don't like, or you overhear something, and then you go into a certain perception or judgment about that. There's any number of examples for where you encounter these positionalities, even if you're not on the exterior. And one reason why a lot of people don't care so much for meditation is because it happens even more intensely when you're just laying there. You see the thoughts that are arising, the judgments that are arising, etc. So that's why a large proportion of people are actually rather in denial about this fact. Or they may be all the way to not being able to really grasp this. They do believe that there's, you know, a concrete good and then the other thing's not good. So, you know, it is a bit of a stretch for people to say that, you know, good and bad are two poles on the same measuring stick. They're not, there's no separation. There's nothing that's actually divorced from anything else in reality. Reality is a sliding scale, a fluid spectrum, right? There's no division between red, yellow, green, blue, indigo. There's infinite numbers of combinations and in-between spots in what anything that you can measure. So, yeah, this idea of positionalities and this reality of working through positionalities is a very powerful metaphor for, you know, expanding yourself, experiencing what it's like to be, you know, a fuller version of yourself. So I can mention some subtle ones. For instance, here, say I'm a musician and, you know, you have a show and you put on a show and you felt like it was not the best you could do. And then you're talking to people afterwards and you're subconsciously you're wanting validation from them, right? Because you have this positionality that for them to say a certain thing, that would make you happy, that would be good. But for them to say, hey, you know, you could have done this better, that would be bad. And then you'll have a negative emotional state. Or if your personality is different, it might be opposite, that you get happy when someone tells you the criticism because you feel like that will aid in your growth. So from that example, you can see how it's arbitrary, somewhat arbitrary, what your reaction is, what your emotion is, based on what your underlying attitude is, what your underlying assumptions are. And that's why, you know, utilizing tools such as meditation, a balanced meditation, such as the circuit that I speak of, which is generally more focused on the grounding or healing downward flowing current, is an indispensable tool towards realizing these things, because we're operating constantly off of assumptions that are both, they're collective on many different levels. They're collective as in the entire inheritance of the human species up till this point, their collective as far as groups of cultures, and then your specific culture, as far as your specific language, as far as your local group, as far as your friends, your family. I mean, there's so many different layers to it, and then there's your individualized layer. All of these hold different assumptions that become invisible. They're not truly invisible. They're actually static on top of the emptiness, because the emptiness itself has been programmed to seem like the greatest fear there is. That of death, that of emptiness, non-existence, nothingness, which is actually nothing more than sophistry. There, non-existence can't exist. So just, you know, dwell on that paradox. The fact is that the reason why things are the way that they are in the world is that generally people reason backwards. So you can even, again, you can just reverse engineer things that people say and just question, well, what if it were the reverse of what they say? Would that make, how much sense would that make? Would that make less sense? Would it make more? And then can I combine the fact of what the person said and then the reverse of what they didn't say, and then go beyond those words? That's the real endeavor. And, you know, surprising to say, it's actually enjoyable, this whole endeavor of, you know, seeking towards wholeness consistently and not viewing anything as an enemy, and moving through positionalities, and then also not forcing oneself to do so in a certain time frame, but allowing the comfort, you know, a balance of discomfort and comfort, because that's what this is all about, is achieving that moderate state. So, you know, the more you look around, it just all depends on your attitude. Like, you wake up with a good, with a fresh, you know, outlook that day, it's going to be like everything you see is fresh, everything you perceive is lucid and clear and beautiful. And at the same time, you don't, you know, you are completely sleep deprived, and then you haven't been consuming, you know, the right type of things, you haven't been, you're in a terrible environment, then what is your lens going to be that perceives the world? So that's what's really missing when you look at the ways that people interact, whether it's on an online forum, in real life, any situation, is that those unquestioned, unconscious assumptions, they're operating there. The people's attitudes are so primary. Their intentions are so primary. All of the invisible factors are so fundamental, yet all that's being given the attention generally is the content. The word that someone says, like if someone says, oh, well, I'm angry. I mean, that could have any number of interpretations based on how it's said, the tone of the words, the expression on their face, what you know about them as a person, what you know they went through recently, the environment, so everyone else that's present. And so people, I don't know, it's interesting how not a lot of consideration is given to this. And, you know, some people can just say, hey, man, you're overthinking all this. And it's true. It is really simple. It means that everything affects everything. And that if you want to know the cause of something, the only true way to say it is that it's everything that's happened up till this point in the entire universe has caused whatever just happened to happen. Now, generally, that's not satisfying to people, because those who are addicted to dualities thrive off of dualities, and that can seem obvious, but it's the case. So that you can view everything as a drug, in a sense, even concepts, so that all of us had taken the drug of duality, taken the drug of separation, and it hasn't worn off. Like, it's a, that's a drug that once you intake it, it just goes into your, you know, most fundamental essence until it's actually extracted. So the funny thing is, that's how it actually is with physical substances as well. Is generally those molecules, you may think that it just passes out through the urine or, and gets detoxified, but what happens is, you know, one molecule can be still trapped in different areas of the body. And it pertains to the emotions as well, so that an emotional complex can be more of the cause of what's storing something in there. So having taken this somewhat permanent drug called duality or separation, one is then an addict to that drug, and then constantly, every day, every millisecond, is redosing that drug, right? Because the perception that they're fixated on is dualistic. So it just continues this whole cycle. And it's also up to you to decide when you're ready to break that cycle. And generally, keeping the metaphor of, you know, addictions, whether it's a food addiction or anything else, anyone who's gone through a cleansing of a major problem like that will tell you that generally what is required to actually move through it finally is the strengthening of the will to such an intense degree that it's like almost invincible, meaning that it's like, I'm gonna change from this no matter what. And then it has to be stronger than all of the actual suffering and hardships that will be undergone, whether illusory or not, they're real in the moment, to be able to actually move through completely. So if that's a, you know, goal for any of us, to actually transcend beyond the duality and just inhabit our natural state, then the will must be so intense and fixed on that goal that you're willing to experience hell, experience death, experience whatever you could perceive as the darkest or the most horrendous, right? Because it's a little bit oxymoronic to say that, you know, you want to experience heaven and bliss, but then you're not willing to experience the torment of despair or what's perceived as the opposite, and then be able to unlock the realization that they're actually one and the same thing in different manifestations. So we're being real with it, you know, not sugarcoating it, because there's enough of that going on. And of course, we can't do everything through the words, so it's whatever, just got to stay relaxed and try and transmit this information so that it can be accessed by anyone freely. And there's so many different tinges of this, right? You can find it in different traditions or different languages, etc. I'm just doing a tiny part in the English program. And so yeah, today's, you know, exploration is a little bit more like nitty-gritty into the mechanics of things. I feel like sometimes it's a little more entertaining, but, you know, it has to do with the collective energy of the day, and, you know, any number of factors. So anyway, if you're new to these podcasts, this is what pretty much what we do on DPEN, unless we, you know, get some specific request for a very pinpointed topic. Generally, it will just be whatever is on the forefront, the lens that's on the forefront for that day. So yeah, again, I want to say thank you so much and send out some balanced vibrations to everyone, and see y'all again soon.